Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some real drama in this scene. So often, because of our approach to Jesus, we can find this a little bit confusing, in which somebody's saying to Jesus, "Well said, teacher. I'm going to give you a small little star on your homework sheet, Jesus." But the scribes were the ones who knew every dot, every tittle in the law. And when a scribe was asking a question of somebody else, it was already a sign that either the person was going to be tested or that the person was worth listening to. And the question, as I've probably mentioned here before, was not a gimme. There were 613 commandments in the Old Covenant. We've heard Jesus answer so many times to this question that every Christian knows it. But it wasn't clear of how you sort through 613 and prioritize among all of them. But Jesus showed us what God ultimately wants. Shema, O Israel. That word shema doesn't just mean hear, it means obey, it means heed. Hear, O Israel. Most important thing is to love God with all we've got. And then Jesus volunteers the second, because the way we're going to love God with all we've got is precisely through loving our neighbor with all we've got. And in St. Matthew's version of the scene, St. Matthew recalls Jesus concluding this dialogue saying, "On these hang all the law and the prophets." All 613 commandments can be interpreted within the dual commandment of loving God and loving neighbor. These are very important concerns for us on any day, but as we begin today the 24 hours of mercy for the Lord, it's key for us to examine ourselves consistently on love and then to recognize that this is 24 hours for us to receive the Lord's great gift of mercy in our mind, in our hearts, in our souls, and in our strengths, and then to love others with that same mercy. In the opening prayer of today's Mass, we beg the Lord to pour into our hearts His grace, so that with His own gift, we may obey His commands. Pope Benedict, 11 years ago, when he wrote Deus Caritas Est, asked the important question, a question that Germans will always ask: how can you possibly command us to love? It seems self-contradictory. Love's got to be a choice. There's got to be freedom in it. How can it just be commanded? I can't just tell you to love me. I can't come in here loaded with plastics explosives and say, "Unless you all tell me you love me, we're gone." It's not going to be authentic love. But how can God command love? And Pope Benedict answered in Deus Caritas Est, God only commands because God is first given. He gives us himself precisely so that we can love. He gives us the means by which we can choose to love like him. And so it's important for us to jump right in. Do we love the Lord with all our mind? Are our thoughts on the Lord? Are we trying constantly to purify our own mindset by the Word of God? Do we love Him with all our strength? Do we make the effort? Do we love Him with all our heart? Is our treasure in Him? Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be. Do we love Him with all our soul? Or have we allowed venial sins to take up their root so that they lead to worse? We all love God, some, but sometimes we can give in to one of those greatest temptations of the devil, which is to say, you already love the Lord enough. Basta. You don't have to love him more. No, God's grace, his gift, is to help us to love him with all that we've got. And it's by his efforts that this is possible, not by our own grit. But then there's always a test for this when it's real. And I remember once I was helping the Knights of Malta run a bioethics series in Massachusetts, and we had set up some talks, and we had brought down a Jesuit from Boston College for one of the series, and the talk was supposed to start at 4:30. At 4:15, he still hadn't shown up. 4:25, he still hadn't shown up. 4:30, he wasn't there. 4:45, he wasn't there. The organizer's talking, it's just like, can you do this off the cuff? And it's just like, let's give him a little bit of extra time. 4:55, he shows up. And you know, I mean, there were almost 200 people in the auditorium. And so he comes straight on up and he says, I am so sorry. On my way down here on Route 24, which was the main route from Boston to New Bedford, or Fall River, he said there was a terrible accident on the side of the road and the traffic jam was bad. And because I was a priest, I drove up in the breakdown lane to just see if the services of the priest were needed. And I got out of the car and I started walking on up, and I was passing some state troopers and they had their heads down and they were kind of nodding in a horizontal direction and it didn't seem good. So I got closer to the car. They had already rolled up the jaws of life. And then I looked in the car. And to my horror, I recognized that I knew the person in the driver's seat. And the person wasn't breathing. And he said, I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but I think you're all going to know who was in that driver's seat. God was in that driver's seat. And he was dead. And then he paused. And I'm about to run this guy off the stage. That was just crazy. But he said, if this story, which I made up, the whole fact, he said, is I'm a Jesuit and I can't drive, just like I can't really celebrate Mass well liturgically. He said, the point that I told that story is if as I was going through, when I said, and you're going to know who the person was too, and when I said God was in that car, if you felt a sign of relief, because you know theologically God can't die, if you would have felt a sign of relief, it might just be a sign that if I had said your wife was in the car, or your husband was in the car, or your son or your daughter was in the car, or the cardinal was in the car, or the bishop was in the car, or your pastor was in the car, if you would have known then that your life would change, do you really have the same type of attached love to God as you do to any of these other loved ones in your life? And he said, my experience bioethically, It's that a lot of us don't have that adequate love for God. Now, regardless of whether you like the device that he used or anything else like this, he had a point. A lot of the times our love for God isn't as real as our love for others. And we need to ponder it. It's one of the biggest crises that face the church today. I was doing a session with a whole bunch of beautiful young girls who were at the UN for this commission on the status of women. They had me for a couple hours asking, and we were talking about vocations, we were talking about a lot, and people never understand a vocation of the priesthood or religious life unless they grow up in some type of environment, even late in life, in which people are willing to give God everything. A vocation to give God everything makes no sense unless people realize God's worth it. Do we really concretely love God enough to sacrifice? Do we really love Him to consecrate our mind to Him and yoke our mind to Him? Do we really love Him enough to yoke our affections to Him? Do we really love Him enough to let Him constantly cleanse our soul so that it would be a fitting abode? Do we love Him enough that we have more effort in our relationship with Him than anywhere? And if we do, then it's actually going to show in the way that we love our neighbor. Because He didn't say, love me as I love you, but love one another as I have loved you. When Peter said, you know, Lord, that I love you, it wasn't enough for Jesus. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Our love for the Lord is always going to be shown in our love for others. So we can start to ask ourselves, with how much of our mind do we love our neighbor? Are we constantly trying to think good thoughts about our neighbor? Are we loving our neighbor with our heart? Are we truly compassionate? Is it affective? Or do we think chastity means we cut ourselves off from philia and agape at the same time that we cut ourselves off from a fallen eros? Do we love people with our soul and pray for their soul? And do we really make the effort, the real effort of love? Today, at the beginning of this 24 hours of mercy, we can look at the whole thing through the prism of mercy. Are our thoughts filled with mercy for our neighbor? Is our heart overflowing with that gift that's been poured within? How much strength do we use to bring people to the Lord's mercy? And forbearance when the other people are trying us so that we respond with mercy like the Lord's. And with our soul, are we allowing the Lord to take away the woodshed of planks that sometimes we can carry so that with a clear soul we can love clearly and see clearly so that we can help others take out their specks? Today, as we come forward to this Mass, the Lord wants to pour in His grace so that with His gift we can love as He commands. And the greatest way we receive this is here, as we pray in the image of Divine Mercy. It's the Eucharist that makes us capable of loving mercifully like the Lord. As we offer to the Eternal Father His dearly beloved Son's body, blood, soul, and divinity in expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world, this is the way that He brings us to the reconciliation that is the intended result of that expiation. This is the straight path in which the just walk, as Hosea reminds us. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.